In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with the how important Luisa is to the church and to the world. It seems as if, you know, everything's falling apart, but in reality, God is putting everything together. We have to remember the Lord is in charge, and He invites us to come to Him. He invites us to come to the Holy Church. He invites us, all of humanity, to begin to live this redeemed life that Jesus brought to the earth through His crucifixion, death, and resurrection with His mother. His mother was with Him on Calvary, co with Jesus on Calvary, redeeming one with Jesus, because she actually, Jesus tells Luisa, actually would have died if it wasn't for the divine will. So again, what the Lord is doing is He's trying to get us ready for what He is going to bring upon the earth. You remember, He is in charge. He is the Lord. That's why the final devotion that Jesus gave told Saint Faustina, the final devotion I give to my church before I return is divine mercy. So when you think about that, it seems as if humanity just doesn't understand the beauty of this gift that God is now giving to the world. And that is an amazing thing that the Lord wants for us. He wants us to begin to understand this new and divine way of holiness. So a lot of people blame somebody. They blame anybody for the condition that we're in. But in reality, it's us. We haven't turned to God with our whole heart, mind, and soul. The earth entices us, and we follow the way of the world. And Jesus is giving us the opportunity to turn back to Him in a very powerful way. This is the thing that's so amazing about this great gift of the divine will. This gift of the divine will is everything that you could imagine. This gift of the divine will is the beginning of the new and divine way of holiness. Everything that the church has taught to this point, the mystics say that in the middle of the 20th century, everything's going to begin to change. Not for the good, but because the evil one knows his time has come to an end. And that's where we are. We're at this point where Jesus says, I must purify my church. I must purify the world for what is going to come upon the earth. So there is a great chastisement that Jesus says it's going to happen. A lot of doom and gloomers are just focusing on that, the doom and gloom. But what Jesus tells Luisa is it's a new and divine way of holiness is coming upon the earth through John Paul II. He says, get ready for the third millennium. Get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. And what the Lord is doing is He's getting us to, I mean, who studies the catechism today? The children don't. I remember when I was a child, we had the Baltimore Catechism and we studied. We did every single day, and we learned what the church was about. Today, the catechism, there's a new catechism, the Catechism of the Holy Catholic Church, but it's complicated. It's not simple. You have to really study it. You have to really get into it. And it's beautiful. So what Jesus has done, I truly believe, with the Book of Heaven, is He's saying, I'm going to show you in a very simple way, the way I spoke to Luisa. Luisa had a first grade education. And this is what God is doing now. He's trying to get us to become aware of how beautiful the church is, how beautiful the sacraments are, how beautiful He is. He's in every Catholic church. The body, blood, soul, and divinity is in every Catholic church. It's the greatest secret on earth. yet the churches are empty. The Blessed Mother, another great secret. She says, pray the rosary, wear the scapular, attend First Saturday Masses, you know, participate in this. Who does that? A lot of the Catholics have forgotten the importance of Jesus and Mary, and they're living a life trying to be good. We're all trying to be good, but failing continuously. So Jesus is giving us something to have us return back to Him in a very, very powerful way, a very powerful way. So what the Lord is looking for is He's looking for souls who want this. And this is why He says in volume 16, 1124, 1923, Louisa, since you are my little one, chosen by me for the mission of my divine will, in you, Louisa, live in that fiat in which you were created. Your human will must have no life in you. So what is the human will? Again, this is very important. Your human will is what you say when you go to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I failed to do. And I don't want to live like this. I want to make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. And then what happens is the following week, we're in confession again. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. See, the human will is very powerful. When Adam said to God, no, I'm going to do what I want. I'm not going to listen to you. The Lord said to Adam, if you eat of that fruit, you will die that day. He lived to be 930 years old. Is scripture lying? No. A day was like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. That's what's coming back to humanity with this new era that's coming. Is going to be magnificent. And Jesus helps Louisa understand that this is a very, very important time. So what has the Lord done? How do we combat all the evil in the world? How do we combat, you know, everything that's happening in the church and in the world? He says to Louisa, you are my chosen one. You, Louisa, you're the one that received the mission of my divine will. You live in that fiat in which Adam was created, Our Lady was created, Jesus lived. This is the true life of Jesus and Mary that's now found in Louisa. And he says, therefore, your human will, your human misery, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, sin, your human inadequacies, this is what Jesus is saying, must have no life in you. How do we do that? He says, and make all the acts of my divine will for each soul your own. So what is happening is, as Jesus was on the cross and Calvary, redeeming us, and as Mary was at the cross and Calvary, co-redeeming with Jesus, and that's what St. Paul says, we are basically co-redeemers. What happens at this point is now Louisa, who lives this life of Jesus and Mary, this is what redemption is. To begin to live this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. Now you're going to learn how to make all the acts of my divine will for each and every soul, as Jesus did, as Mary did. See, we're returning to the image and likeness of God. So what Adam had, he had this the Ruah of God, the breath of God in its fullness, as much as a human could possibly have at that time, but it did not have the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Why? They were not here at that point. This is the thing that our Lord is asking. Our Lord is asking us to begin to live this abundant life. So the Lord needs us to cooperate. Our Lord needs us to begin to respond to Him. So Jesus says this. He says, you shall deposit them within yourself. This is each act of every soul. And while repaying my divine will in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, you shall form within yourself all the necessary food to nourish all human generations with the food of my divine will. So Jesus shows Louisa that there's three breads. He fed the thousands, showing, yes, God is in charge of all the food. of the humanity. But then as he comes to earth, he gives to the Holy Church the Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And the second bread, the supersubstantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, where we, if we wish, can go to Holy Mass every day. And even if we can't attend Mass, Jesus taught the saints to make a spiritual communion. And you could do that every hour on the hour, if you wish, to be in communion with God. Because what Jesus said to Saint Gertrude is, he showed up with two ciboriums, a gold ciborium and a silver ciborium. And the gold ciborium, he said, are those the communions that I receive, that people receive at Holy Mass? And this, Jesus says, this is so important for humanity. Then he says the spiritual communions, those that can't attend Holy Mass, basically, who can make a spiritual communion all day, all throughout the day, being in communion with God. And he says, both are important to me. So this is what God is doing. He's asking us to begin to live this life. So he says, you, Luisa, shall deposit them within yourself. This is what Jesus taught Luisa. Now he's teaching us, while repaying my divine will in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, you shall form within yourself. Sorry. You shall form within yourself this new beginning that's happening for all of humanity. This is what God is. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for us to do what he taught Luisa. You shall form within yourself all the necessary food. This is learning and studying and putting into practice what the divine will is. A lot of people say, "Well, I read the saints. I understand it." You haven't understood anything unless you, once you begin to read what Jesus taught Luisa, the door is going to open for you. As a matter of fact, Jesus says to Luisa, you, Luisa, must be the key. What's the key? It's the keys to the kingdom. Who's going to use this? The vicar of Christ on earth. He's going to open the door and everyone will enter into this life. That's why Jesus says in the last chapter of volume 24, then there will be one church, one flock, one shepherd. Everyone will say, how do I begin to live this life? How do I begin to live this universal life? And it's going to be very clear, baptism first, to be in God's image. And then when to begin to study everything that the church has said, everything that the saints have said, and that's now the book of heaven, which this is what Jesus is doing. So each saying, each effect, each additional knowledge about my divine will shall be one more taste that humanity shall find in this food, in such a way that as they eat this bread avidly, he says, everything I tell you about my divine will shall serve to whet the appetite so that they may take no other food at any cost, at any sacrifice. 2,000 years ago, Jesus gave us the Holy Eucharist. This is the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ. 70% of the Catholics don't believe it. What happened? What happened? Okay, Jesus is giving us a remedy for what happened. And the remedy is the book of heaven. When you read the book of heaven, you just begin to experience heaven. How? By being peaceful, joyful, and happy in all situations. Peaceful, joyful, and happy. Like Our Lady was, even at Calvary, watching her son die on the cross, watching the Lord of Lords die, she was peaceful. How can that be? Well, because what Jesus is breathing into us is his peace. He is the King of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. She's the Queen of Peace. We begin to live this. As Our Lady said, if you want peace in the world, it has to begin within us. How do you do that? When you read the book of heaven, you're going to learn little by little. It's not going to, oh, I read the book of heaven, now I live in it. No. Luisa studied the book. She studied this. When we were in the secret archives of the Vatican, copying the writings of Luisa, her thumbprints were on the pages. She was focused on studying what Jesus taught her. She just didn't read and say, well, I possess it. No, Jesus said to her, I cannot come back to you until you've learned what I've taught you. Every word that I speak, Jesus says, is a divine life. This is what he's given to Luisa. He says, so each saying of this book of heaven, each effect, each additional knowledge of the divine will is one more taste that they shall find in this food, this first bread, in such a way that they shall eat it with avidity. Everything I tell you about my volition shall serve to whet the appetite so that they take no other food at any cost, at any sacrifice, in order to make the divine will loved, make the divine will desired. The knowledge of the divine will is necessary. So these truths that Jesus is speaking to Louisa, these divine lives that Jesus has given to Louisa, these treasures, these secrets, these lessons, these knowledges that Jesus is giving to Louisa in the Book of Heaven changes your life. Sacred Scripture becomes alive. The reading of the lives of the saints, we go, this is why they did this. It's like a completion of what they've been teaching us over the last 2,000 years. And now what God is giving to humanity, which God is giving to the church, is this great gift of the divine will. So he says, therefore be attentive. There's a book on be attentive. If you go to luisapicaretta.me, download the book of be attentive. Download the book. You must know. Everything that Jesus said to Louisa, you must know this. There's a whole book. Everything that she said is essential. And you begin to get a glimpse of this. And then what happens? You read it again and God expands your capacity to understand more. He said to Louisa, I can't fill you with the divine will as Adam received. There was no space. I mean, there was no end to the space. He breathed into the dust as much as God wanted to fill Adam. And what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. He says, your body is already created. There's no more space. I have to expand your capacity by your willingness, your docility, your surrender, your submission to listen to me, Jesus says. And that's what we do when we read the Book of Heaven. Therefore, be attentive. Receive within yourself this deposit of my divine will. So that, like he says to Louisa, so like a second mother, you may prepare the food for our children. In doing so, see, this is, Louisa is the first one to receive the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This is why she's the newborn. He says, Jesus says, who is my mother and my brother? My brothers, he says, the one who does the will of the Father. This is what we see in Louisa, a human born of original sin. What God is giving to the world is going to astonish the world. The world is going to shake, Jesus says. And what it's going to be shaking with joy and happiness and peace. And this is what's happening. So therefore, be attentive. Receive it in yourself, the deposit of faith, so that as like a second mother, you may prepare the food for our children. In doing so, you shall imitate my mother, Mary. And it shall cost you much, Louisa, as well. But in the face of my divine will, any sacrifice shall seem to be nothing to you. Do it as a little one. Never descend from my arms, and I shall continue to narrate to you the story of my divine will. So this is what Jesus has given. He's given this to humanity. He's given this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies to humanity. For who? So that Louisa can narrate, through Louisa, narrate the story of the divine will. We're beginning to learn. This is what we've done with all the saints. We would not know about the Sacred Heart unless we listen to Sister Mary, Margaret Mary. We wouldn't know about Divine Mercy if we didn't listen to Saint Faustina. What Jesus is telling Louisa is helping us understand this story of the divine will, this life, this light, this love of God. Volume 16, 2:5, 1924. Poor daughter of mine, courage. That was one of the first words of Pope Benedict when he became Pope. He says, you must be courageous. What John Paul II said is, do not be afraid. Okay, we can't be afraid, and we have to be courageous. We have to have the courage, the strength that Joan of Arc had. What Joan of Arc possessed, a young teenager leading an army into battle and winning. That's what we're doing now. We were called to live at this time. And that's exactly what Joan of Arc said. I have been called to live at this time. This is my duty. Our duty, Jesus tells Louisa, is greater than Joan of Arc's. What's coming, like I said, in this great chastisement. Jesus said four things about this chastisement. And this is all you have to know. a lot of people are like, oh, doom and gloom, doom and gloom, doom and gloom, doom. God's in charge. He knows us. The four things are this. Number one, there will be a great chastisement where the large majority of humanity will be gone, will be wiped off the face of the earth. Number two, he says that my mother is marking all the little children on the holy divine will, and no harm can come to them. Do we believe that? If Jesus is our King and Savior and Mary is their mother and queen, do you believe that? There's no worry. Number three, the children who are marked by my mother, Jesus says, the chastisement will have little or no effect upon them. And number four, he says, the survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children of the holy divine will. Why? Because the kingdom is coming. This purification of the church and the world has to happen. Why? The kingdom is coming. Now, we could go around going, oh, it's so bad out there. It's so bad out there. It's so bad. And be miserable. What do you give to your children? It's so bad out there. It's so bad out there. What do the children do? They don't have that mother who says to them during a thunderstorm, everything's okay. It's going to be all right. We're going to get through this storm that God wants us to go through. Why does God want us to go through this? Because the kingdom is coming. That's where our hope is. That's where our joy is. So she says, Jesus says, poor daughter of mine, courage. Your Jesus does not leave you. Cut that out, write it down on a piece of paper and put it on your bathroom mirror. Courage. Your Jesus isn't going to leave you. You can leave him, but he's not going to leave you. With this truth that Jesus spoke to Louisa, with this knowledge that Jesus has given to Louisa, your life is peaceful. Your life is joyful. Your life is happy. He says, nor shall you fear that you might go out of my will, because your human will is chained to the immutability of mine. It's not going to change. This is not going to change. Once you say to Jesus, I want to surrender my human will so that your divine will reigns in me, he says, this is the beginning of a new life. And besides, have you forgotten that I am? He uses God's name all the time. I am, not only in your heart, but in the whole world. And that from within you, Louisa, I direct the destiny of all humanity. In your heart, Louisa, this is where humanity's going. It's the destiny of the world, this sanctification, this new and divine way of holiness. This is the destiny of the world. And he's offering it to us. How are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? Sit down and begin to read the book of heaven. It's not a novel. It's Jesus speaking to you. Listen to him. Volume 16, 2, 20, 19, 24. Louisa is the first one in the church to live in the divine will. Again, this is very important. The saints did the will of God. And that's really volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus. Volume 11 through volume 19, Jesus says, I've taught to no one. Why? It wasn't time. What do you mean it wasn't time? Did Moses or King David or Elijah receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ at Holy Eucharist? No. Why? It wasn't time. Did anyone pray the Holy Rosary with the Blessed Mother in the Old Testament? No, it wasn't time. Redemption had taken place. And when Jesus and Mary came to earth, redemption was given to humanity. And we've been living in the kingdom of redemption for 2,000 years. And Jesus says, this is for all of humanity. Out of 8 billion people, 1 billion are Catholic, and 70% don't believe in the Holy Eucharist. That's not good. That's not good. So Jesus says, okay, I've given everything to everyone as much as I can. Now the kingdom is coming. And he says, all those who want the kingdom will begin to live in it. That's what he gave to Louisa. And he's going to get 100% of all the survivors of this great chastisement to be living that universal life that it was given to Adam, but more than what God gave to Adam. Jesus says this, Luis is the first one in the church to live in the divine will. Therefore, Jesus has not manifested it to anyone before. This means to make the pure joys of the purpose of creation return to Jesus. Everything that he did now is the time for everyone to become sanctified, a new and divine way of holiness. It is continuous exchange between the human will and the divine will. There's not going to be any separation anymore. And again, this is what Jesus is giving. With all that my sweet Jesus told me about his most holy divine will, I was thinking to myself, how can it ever be possible that until now, there has not been one soul who lived in the divine will? And I am the first one. Who knows how many others have been before me in a more perfect way? She loved the saints in a more active way than I. But as I was saying this, my always adorable Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, Luisa, why do you not want to recognize the gift, the grace, your mission of having been called in a way all special and new to live in my divine will? If there had been any other soul in my church before you, since the living in my divine will, listen to this, is the most important thing which interests me, God, the most, for which I, God, care very much. There would have been traces, there would have been rules, there would have been teachings in my church of the one destined to live in my divine will. Therefore, there would have been knowledge, the attraction, the affection, and the goods contained in this living in my divine will. If there had been any other manifestations, I, God, would have used my divine power, letting the sublime way of living in my divine will shine through in view of my great delight and seeing myself honored by humanity with the glory of my own. Do you see the difference? This is to love God with God's own glory. That's the likeness. I would have pushed that soul so much that she could have not resisted manifesting what I, God, wanted. And just as there are sayings and teachings on living resigned, that's a saint, patient and obedient, etc., there would have been this as well. It would have been really funny and strange if I, God, have kept hidden the thing which I, God, love the most. He loves the divine will. This is his life. This is the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Rather, the more one loves something, the more he wants to make it known. These are the knowledges that Jesus is giving, the truths, the manifestations, the secrets, the treasures, the promises. The more delight and glory a way of living brings me, the more I, God, want to diffuse it. It is not the nature of true love to hide what can make others happy and rich. If you knew how I, God, long for this time of coming to the light of my little newborn, how I long for you, Luisa, to be born. You are the newborn of my divine will, to make you live in my volition. What a court of grace I, God, prepared to in order to obtain the intent. God is doing this. You would remain stunned and would be more grateful and attentive to me. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. If you knew what I have done with this little newborn, you would be more grateful and more attentive to what God is doing. You do not know what it means to live in my divine will. It means to make the pure joys of the purpose of creation. Be fruitful and multiply. My innocent pleasures for which I created Adam, return to me. It means to remove all the bitterness that the perfidious human will gave me almost at the dawn of creation. It means a continuous exchange of wills, human and divine. This is why we breathe. You breathe in this divine, I love you. We breathe back to God, his divine, I love you, not a human. See, he gives us, when God gives us a gift, it is living. As the soul, fearing her own human will, lives from my most holy divine will, while mine keeps filling the souls with divine joys, divine love, and infinite goods. Oh, how happy I, God, feel in being able to give whatever I, God, want to the soul, because my divine will contains such capacity as to be able to receive everything. Therefore, There is no longer divisions between me and the soul, but stable union, image and likeness, in working and thinking and loving, because my divine will compensates for everything. So we remain in perfect accord in communion of goods. This perennial communion is what we're going to go back to. Jesus says, I give you the Holy Eucharist for 15 minutes to adore him and to love him and to praise him, to be in communion with God after Holy Mass. Why? Because I'm preparing you for the perennial communion that's coming to all of humanity who enters into the kingdom. This has been the purpose of creating of Adam, to make him live as our own child, to share all our goods with him so that he, Adam, might be fully happy and we, Triune God, might be amused with his divine happiness. Now, to live in my divine will is exactly this, to have the purpose, the joys, the feasts of creation return back to the Triune God. All of creation is a divine I love you. All of redemption is a divine I love you. The return is sanctification. We begin to see in creation, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, we see the love of God in creation, but we're going to see in detail what this means. Everything is going to be returned to us, Triune God. We breathe in this divine I love you. We breathe back his divine I love you, not a human I love you. That's because it's Jesus's true life. It's Mary's true life, the new Adam and the new Eve. And you say that I should have kept it hidden in my church without manifesting it? I would have turned heaven and earth upside down, Louisa. I would have overwhelmed the souls with an irresistible strength. That's what he's doing with the Book of Heaven. In order to make known that which will be the fulfillment of creation. We haven't seen anything yet. We haven't seen anything yet. They are sealed angels from the beginning of time. When these seals are broken, one angel is more powerful than all the nuclear weapons on earth going off at the same moment. More than that. Why? It's divine power that's there. We haven't seen anything yet. Do you see how much I care for this living in my divine will, which places the seal, the stamp of all my upon all my works so that all of them may be complete. 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 That's what's coming. It may seem to you that this is nothing or that there are similar things in my church. No, no. For me, on the contrary, it is all of my works and you must appreciate it as such. So he's telling us, you think this is normal? You think this is what the saints went through? No, it's more than that. It's the completion. And be more attentive. In fulfilling the mission I want from you, Louisa, and the souls linked to Louisa, and hopefully that's us. Psalm 16, 2:22-19:24. Now let's come to us, my daughter, so that this living in my divine will could have life in my church. See, it's begun. I had to go down the stairs to descend further and choose a creature from her midst, providing her with sufficient graces and making my way within her soul. I, God, had to empty you, Louisa, of everything, making you, Louisa, understand the great evil of the human will. The human will is what we say when we go to confession. We don't want to live like this. How Jesus says, you must be perfect, perfected as my heavenly Father is perfect. How do you do that? Jesus is giving us the book of how that happens. He's going to do it. This is what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. Jesus is astonishing. He has provided her with sufficient graces, making her way, making my way within her soul. I had to empty her of everything, making her understand the great evil of the human will so that she would abhor the human will so much as to choose death rather than do her own human will. That was Our Lady. That was Our Lady's life. That was our Lord's life. Not my will, but your will, Heavenly Father. Louise, Our Lady said, let it be done to me as you say. Fiat mihi, let it be done as you say. I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. This is what they taught Louisa. And that's what he says. You would rather, you abhor your human will so much as you'd rather choose death than to do your own human will. Then giving her my divine will as a gift, assuming the attitude of master, I, God, made her understand all the divine beauty, all the divine power, all the divine effects, all the divine value, and the way, listen to this, to live in my eternal will, the way Jesus did and Mary did. No saint ever taught us this. This is what Jesus gave to Louisa. I established in Louisa the law of my divine will so that Louisa could live in it. I, God, acted as in a second redemption in which I established the gospel, the sacraments, the teachings as primary life in my holy church. In order to be able to now continue redemption, I had not left any foundation to what the creature could cling to. They will do what I did for living in the divine will. How many teachings did I not give you, Louisa? How many? This every page, there's promises. Every page, there's teachings. Every page, there's secrets. Every page, there is these knowledges, these truths. Every page, there's these lessons of Jesus. How many teachings did I not give you? And when we read this little by little, that's our hope. We're beginning to live this life. This is what Jesus is showing. How many times did I not lead you by the hand in the eternal flights in my divine will? And you, flying over the whole of creation, brought pure joys of creation, where? To the feet of the divinity. This is what Adam was supposed to do. This is what Our Lady did. This is what our Lord did. This life is now being returned. And it's in the newborn. She's the firstborn. A lot of people say, well, I'm living in the divine will. Baloney. She lived in the divine will. We know nothing about it yet. No matter how long you've been reading, we know nothing about it yet. Jesus says there will be that time when this will happen. And it's close. It's close. Now, having chosen a creature, Louisa, who apparently has no great disparity from the others, humanity will take courage, finding the teachings, finding the way, knowing the great good contained in living in my divine will. And they, listen to this is us, they shall make it their own. As we read, as we study, as we put this into practice, Jesus is doing this. Louis de Montfort says, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. Remember how many times you saw me write in the depth of your soul. It was the new law of the living in my divine will. And first, I, God, delighted in writing it. So here, Jesus says to Louisa, this book is mine. It's not yours, Louisa. It's not your thoughts, Louisa. That's the beauty of this. I, God, delighted in writing it in order to expand your capacity. And then I took the attitude of a master in order to explain it to you. So this is her study. This is why her fingerprints were on the chain, on the page. How many times have you not seen me taciturn and pensive in the depth of your soul? It was the great crafting in my divine will that I was forming in you. And if you've done anything, if you've written a song, if you learn how to paint or draw or sculpt, you're pensive. You're taciturn. You're looking at it. Now, what do I have to do now? Oh, I've got to do this now. What's needed now? He's the craftsman. He's the artist. He said he's going to make of us his own divine masterpiece. Woo. So he says very clearly, in order to expand your capacity, he says, I took the attitude of a master in order to explain it to you. How many times have you not seen me taciturn and pensive in the depth of your soul? It was a great crafting of my divine will that I was forming in you, Louisa. And now he wants to form this in us. And seeing me not speak, you lamented that I no longer loved you. Ah, it was exactly then that pouring out upon you, my divine will enlarged your capacity. You see what he's doing? There's times when he's silent. This is when he's saying, okay, now watch what I'm going to do. That's why we're doing a book on the silence. Every time Jesus says, Luis says, then he was silent. He wants us to study what he's going to do. He says, it is exactly then pouring out upon you my divine will, enlarging your capacity, confirming you in the divine will. And I loved you the most. And that's what God is doing with our life. He's taking everything away from us. You have to remember that everything is being taken away from us. Why? To perfect us. When you're carving marble, you chip away that which is not necessary. God's doing that in each and every one of our lives. He's saying, I'm bringing you to perfection. He says, I want each of my children to become my divine masterpiece, a masterpiece for God to enjoy. It's not human. Human is miserable. But he's bringing us to this divine reality of the perfect humans, Jesus and Mary. Therefore, do not want to investigate anything of what I do, but rest sure always in my divine will. Do everything in the divine will. And that's what God is teaching us through Luisa, how to begin to live this life. Volume 17, 4, 15, 19, 25. Now, I repeat to you, just as I placed my mama at the head of all of redemption, I deposited on our Blessed Mother all the goods of redemption. So I choose another virgin in whom I place near the Blessed Mother, giving her the mission to make my divine will known. It had to be a human. Adam was human. He wasn't the Son of God. He wasn't the Mother of God. But the Son of God, the Mother of God, had to come to earth to redeem humanity. And Our Lady was with Jesus on Calvary. Why? A human must possess this. That's why I chose another virgin, like my mother, not Mary. She's not greater than the Blessed Mother. Mary's Theotokos, Mother of God. And I placed her near the Blessed Mother, giving her the mission of making my divine will known. That's the mission of Luisa. That's why we have the Book of Heaven. And if redemption is great, my divine will is even greater. Why? Because redemption is not complete yet. Redemption is completed when sanctification takes place. And just as for redemption, there was a beginning in time, not in eternity. In the same way, for my divine will, though it is eternal, there was to be the beginning in time. That's why Our Lady came to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation, said, time is now come to an end. It's the end of the reign of the evil one. The kingdom is coming. This is why we're happy. Therefore, he says, because my divine will exists in heaven and on earth, and it is the sole and only purpose for all goods, I was to choose a creature, a human, to whom I was entrust the deposit of the knowledges, the truths, the secrets, the promises, the treasures, these lessons about the divine will, making known to Luisa as to a second mother the divine qualities, the divine value, the prerogatives of the divine will, that Luisa might love it and jealously keep it the deposit of it, be the deposit of this gift. So who is the deposit of this gift? As Our Lady was the deposit of redemption, Jesus says, the deposit of sanctification is put back in the hands of a human. The Son of God and the Mother of God have done their job. Now they can breathe this gift, this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. This is the second Pentecost that's coming. Is now given to a newborn who begins to live this abundant life. This is where we are. And we'll come back to this in 15 minutes in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.